I love that we're just like starting right off. We're coming in hot. We're wasting no
honestly
time.
Incredible.
Welcome back to Smell Your Later, your favorite podcast about us two yapping. I'm trying to smell myself and I'm like,
Don't jinx it. You finally have some scent.
Good thing I smelled it earlier because.
Can you talk about those yet?
Yeah, they're out.
Oh, word.
They,
okay.
Like, they were just really, they're on the website. So
great.
They're talking about it.
Anyway, good riddance. Are they coming on the show?
No.
Great. Fuck them.
They keep saying they're breadcrumbing me, basically. And finally, I'm like, you know what? I don't care.
Yeah, this is, I'm not fighting for this.
Whenever. I don't care. We don't need you, but we will have you, please. Anyway, apropos to nothing, I got the new Glossier Hot Cocoa Balm.com. And just as the PR sent it to me, hashtag gifting, just as I got the delivery, I found my old, the original like Swiss Miss collab one.
Oh, funny. Yeah.
They're the same.
It's Are they the same? Thing.
Sure. I imagine that they probably couldn't use the term Swiss Miss because like it was outside the licensing frame, time frame. But the way this smells like fake chocolate is like the smell of my childhood.
You?
That like artificial chocolate smell.
You're so funny. I would not have the way that I cannot form a sentence. I'm so sorry. The way that SwissMissBalm.com imprinted on you. You love so few things the way that you love this goddamn Balm.com, which I support.
I love the color. I love the finish. I wish it wasn't just wax. I wish it actually moisturized my lips because this is like the lip balm that makes people think that lip balm makes you addicted to lip balm.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't actually moisturize. It just like seals on top.
See, I will disagree with that because Balm.com is the one that made me believe that lip balms were not formulated
so
to
crazy.
Make you addicted. However, I think I've aged out of this because when they reformulated, if Glossier is going to do one thing, it's reformulate. They should fucking nail that lipstick for once. But when they reformulated Balm.com, I was like, it feels the same. It just doesn't last quite as long. And then I went back to the original and I was like, I may not like this anymore because I'm now Summer Fridays pilled. And I know that is not a true balm either. It's a really nourishing balm gloss, fine, but it's so nice that it really shot Balm.com dead for me. But you know what? We had a lot of good years together. I look back fondly.
I need a lip balm to have lanolin for it to do shit for me.
Yeah.
Without lanolin, I can't, okay, maybe that doesn't make it quote unquote cruelty free, even though it's not a product of cruelty.
No, no, no. They can be cruelty free. They can't be vegan.
Oh, got it. That's right. It's not vegan, but that's the only thing that really works for me. I don't know. None of these vegan foods.
Because it works. Not to be like, shout out to animal byproduct, but.
Those byproducts do be working.
They be byproducting.
Thank you, sheep.
Have you, thank you, comma, sheep. Have you, I'm sure I've gone on about it before, but have you tried the Summer Fridays lip oil?
No.
It's so good.
They missed me with that, with the PR. And that's fine. It's fine. I'm not clamoring for it. But the girls love the Summer Fridays lip products.
They do. So I love the balm, but that goddamn lip oil is so good. And I think lip oils are a little bit of a scam.
They are.
But this one is different. It's just good. That's all I can say.
I'm just like, why call it a lip? I don't know. Whatever.
Every time I wear it, I feel so rich.
Every time I wear a lip oil, I feel like I lick it off my lips in a matter of seconds. Or just, I feel like I like have put sauce on my mouth. I don't know. Right. There's something about the consistency that just doesn't stay for me. But I have this theory that tinted lip balms are like beauty's version of designer houses fragrances. It's often the most affordable item that you can buy from a beauty brand. And it's weird little status thing.
Yeah.
Like the Rode lip balms, the Summer Friday lip balms. Mm-hmm. People get weirdly statusy about them. There's a weird posturing about these tinted lip balms. And I'm trying to put my finger on it. But maybe
I'm with it. I'll posture with the girls.
Including Lana Lips just released like a lip balm holder that's magnetic.
And, I saw that.
Yeah,
can we get a new idea? Ugh.
Yeah. I'm like, what happened to just putting it in your pocket until it slowly unscrewed and leaked in your pocket? And you put it in the washer because you forgot it was in your pocket. What happened
to
that?
It's just like, it is obviously a jock on the road lip balm foam case, which fine. But it's sometimes we just got to let a brand have an idea and not try to recreate it. You know what I mean? It's fine.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they see the success of one thing, but I'm like, but you're not Rode.
Exactly.
That worked because it was Rode. You're not Rode.
I'd rather not do something than do something and be an obvious copycat.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. And like, I stand Lana Lips. I love them. I have 10 of them in my
possession. You love them.
They work. That's why. Because of the sheep. Anyway, back to sheep.
This is a lip product podcast, though.
Yeah. We do be talking about products. Speaking of scented products, did you get the new Dew face wash?
Yeah, girl. I worked on that.
Wait, you did?
Uh-huh. Forever ago,
actually.
Oh,
my gosh.
Uh-huh.
Copy?
And a little strat, too.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
You know,
they randomly just sent it to me, and I was like, okay, cool. Great.
Let me not take credit for that because I did work on it, but it has been so long that there may have been wiggle room to shimmy a few things around. But yes, I did work on it. I was very excited about it. Yeah. And yeah, I love that they did a scented and unscented version. What do you think of the scent?
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
But
it smells like a perfume to me.
It does smell like a perfume.
It doesn't smell like a face wash, which is neither here nor there. That's a neutral statement.
Yeah. It doesn't smell like the detergent tea face wash smells. Yeah.
I love that you get like a billion ounces of it too. You could kill someone with that.
You get like 7 ounces. It's a lot. It is a lot of cleanser. But I did think it was really interesting that they just released a fragrance and an unfragranced version. Because I'm like,
listen, Dew's about that though.
They're about their claims.
Yeah.
I want a scented moisturizer. I want a scented Air Angel.
Keep an eye out. You may be getting some scent forward products. I know nothing, but yeah. Anyway.
Tynan, what are you smelling today?
I smell like the new Gucci Flora Gorgeous Orchid. And before you start in on me, I have actually never smelled a Gucci Flora scent. These are the ones that are, they're sort of the Premier line-ish, they're like
the Sephora line.
Yeah. They're the ones in the pretty colored bottles. There's the pink one, the lavender one, and now there's this yellow one. I've never smelled them before because I'm not a floral guy, and I don't know. If I don't like florals and I call it a floral fragrance, then I say, I don't like this floral fragrance, and who's the clown? You know what I mean? I just never felt like it was a fair read. I'm not going to talk shit on something I know I'm not going to like. But this one has a really heavy vanilla shift to it. So I was curious and called it in, thinking like, if I don't like it, I'll just give it away, whatever. I really enjoy this, actually. I think it's really nicely done. It is much more vanilla than anything else. I'm sure there's some orchid in there too. The only notes listed are vanilla, vanilla orchid, and then ozonic notes. So pretty up my alley.
The
with
ozonic,
those.
Really get. I really get the ozonic with that because it's like that metallic-y vanilla that all these like new vanillas are, like Vanilla Era, Vanilla Powder, and now this
metallic.
Which is
literally metallic vanilla. Yeah,
yeah. It is an interesting take on vanilla that brings it into this weird kind of metallic category.
Get the metal from it.
I get it a little bit. And I think once you said ozonic, I was like, oh, yeah, that's what I was smelling.
That I get. Yeah. No, this is nice. I'm of a few minds about it, but they all lead back to, okay, I just like this fucking scent. But it's pretty straightforward. It is what it is. It is respectfully not all that complex, which is fine. Again, the vanilla overrides any floralness happening. Which I guess to me is a good thing. Yeah. It has this plushness that reminds me of the feel that brings me to flowers. I don't know what a vanilla orchid smells like specifically.
I don't think I've ever known what an orchid smells like.
I don't think they're real.
I've never.
But
is orchid one of those flowers that like doesn't actually have a smell like lily?
Girl, I don't know. Your cats probably can't eat them. Who the fuck knows? But anyway, I quite like this. As I wore it, it's brought me to, is this Gucci's answer to a spicy floral? Because it is not a one-to-one comparison, don't get me wrong, but it does bring me to Libra territory. What else did I tell you via text? It was Libra and something the fuck else. But I think it could be, there's a lot of this trending right now. This is the easiest franchise in which we can put this fragrance family under. And if that's the case, more power to him.
They're just going to keep churning those out. I
think they really will.
They just do well for them. They're a little bit more affordable, I think, than the Alchemist Garden line. And the girlies love it.
Oh my God, that's Gucci too, right?
Yeah. Well, the girlies love to wear Gucci. Wait, now
and I don't blame them.
How much does it?
It's $135 to $165.
Oh, okay. Not cheap, but not as expensive as the $300, $400 ones.
No, it's Gucci. People think they need to pay for it. Anyway. It's really nice. I do enjoy it quite a bit, and I will probably go back to it. It's just, I could see myself like throwing it on, then putting on a sweatshirt and like rolling around my apartment being comfortable. It's nice. I'm happy I called it in.
It's your girl
Sable,
fall.
Gucci Girl Fall. Sable, what do you smell like today?
So I smell like a new scent from a new collection from Diptyque. The collection is called Essence, The Essences of Diptyque. And the fragrance I'm wearing is called Lunamaris. And there's one, two, three, four, there's five fragrances in the collection. They are all very fancy and expensive. Lunamaris is the one that is meant to be like Mother of Pearl.
Oh, this was what I was curious about.
So automatically Mother of Pearl drew my attention. So,
Yeah.
and it's very peppery. It's like peppery and it's like cold silver. And there is like a little bit of a smoky incense, like a teeny bit of
Oh.
a light. It's strange. It's almost like a musky smokiness because it's very light and translucent. It's not heavy. The brand calls out pink peppercorn incense and rock rose. I think the rose, I don't know if I get rose in there specifically, but there is like a little bit of a floral, I don't know, polishness about it. I wouldn't call it sweet, but it just, I feel like the floral kind of polishes it. But it does give me like dark ocean water at night with the moon reflecting it, or like a slab of like black onyx, or yeah, like mother of pearl, this cold, this hard, shimmery, iridescent, magical thing.
Oh, I love that. Like an evil
Yeah.
mermaid.
Oh, yeah, like an evil mermaid. It
Oh,
reminds
visual.
me a lot of these kind of in vibe. Remind me of like the Hermès Jardin fragrances.
Oh, not that.
Yeah, you might hate them, but
I do like that one, though.
they're pretty. They're very
They're
pretty.
fine.
Yeah, they're.
Internet's come on the show. I won't disparage you.
They just released a new fragrance, and I'm hesitant to call it in because I don't know. I think sometimes when I think about calling things in, I'm like, what is this worth in terms of how many emails I will have to go back and forth with? And I couldn't decide.
Whatever.
But Lunamaris, it's beautiful and peppery, and I'm trying to think of what quote unquote vibe it gives off. I cannot put my finger on it, and I think that's probably for the best. But I imagine the type of person who loves, I don't know, all of these scents give me, they really do give like wealthy woman kind of,
Yeah,
I
it's
don't know,
Diptyque.
yeah, wealthy European woman with a husband with a yacht. That's the vibe I get. But yeah, so it feels, it's a very lovely polished scent. I don't know if it's like a sable scent, but it's nice.
It
It's
sounds like a
nice.
Sable scent.
It sounds like it in theory. In
Sure.
practice, I'm like, maybe, maybe.
I want to try that next time I'm over. That sounds
Yeah.
intriguing. I don't think it's definitely not a me scent, but it sounds like something I'd appreciate.
Yeah. Artistically, I think it's very interesting, but yeah, Lunamaris.
Speaking of interesting artistry, we are really happy to welcome the founder, creator, creative director, head marketer of Amphora, the brand that I personally have fallen head over heels for. I think when I say the
Yeah,
same
we
thing.
really just, as soon as we saw them and smelled them, we were like, this is it.
Yeah, this is some other shit,
I
man.
know. And
And
I love that there, because there's two scents, inevitably, like one becomes a Tynan scent and one becomes a sable scent.
No,
Like I
absolutely.
loved, I was immediately drawn to Primal Yell, and you were immediately drawn to Sublimate for all the right reasons that make sense. But they're such interesting scents. And there's also draw me was the descriptions. I mean,
All of
like
it.
each scent has a question. For Sublimate, it's who will remember you if you leave no trace? Spooky. And for Primal Yell, how long must you scream until someone hears you? Also spooky in a different way. But yeah, I don't think we've really smelled a lot of stuff like this. And then we learned, A, the perfumer is local. He's just like a cool person who lives in the city. And this is his debut collection that he just released this
Oh,
year. And we're like, whoa.
it's they, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Scratch everything I just said then. Fuck that. But yeah, it's so cool that they're ostensibly a neighbor. They also live in New York
Yeah.
City. They're an artist. They're a multi-hyphenate. They do it all. And yeah, they're just like, I felt like being perfumed. So I did. Here it is. And it's amazing. And we had to know what was up.
I'm also a multi-hyphenate, stupid,
Yes.
evil, and a flop. No,
Oh my God,
yeah,
stop.
really excited to welcome them to the show today. I would say it's a long time coming, but it was pretty fast,
I
and that's just
know.
how we like it. So let's
Yeah.
just get into it.
Radio.
Hi, I'm Noah Virgil. I am the owner, perfumer, photographer, marketing person, TikTok operator of M4 Parfum. Technically, I have a degree in acting, which is what I still do on and off whenever they pay me enough. But perfume has very much been the focus for the past, my entire life, but in the business sense for the past like 6 months.
6 months? Oh my gosh.
It like feels deranged
to
say that.
You are a breakout star.
Honestly.
Like hearing that makes my guts like spill out of my mouth.
But it's okay because it's the perfume world.
It's, like, it's such a like crazy experience to be so well received. It's crazy. Things have just like precipitated in exactly the right way to make things work out. It's really been incredible. And I have to give just an insane amount of credit to so many people, honestly. But I was just listening to the episode. I didn't get to finish it before we started. But my boys at Stell are like, they have been championing me since the beginning. So we technically launched at the exact same time.
Yeah, I remember that. They're just such great. It's exactly the right word. They're such good champions for the people that they carry. They really support the brands they have.
And I technically never launched it. I was supposed to have a formal launch that I was going to do like a little event for, and Stell picked me up before my full bottles launched. So I just started selling perfume, which was really weird. I'm still like that. I think that's still kind of why
that's
I'm
kind
like,
of, yeah,
not really like, what do you mean breakouts? I'm like, I haven't like actually done anything yet, right?
It's not
like,
even out yet.
I know.
No, like, it just like randomly started selling it. I didn't announce it or anything. It just happened.
That is how it happens, I feel. You're just like, okay, I'm doing the steps I have to do. And then you're actually doing it. Then you're like, wait, it's happening. What?
It very much has been a like, I guess it's working, so I'll keep doing that.
Yeah. Oh, it's then, definitely working.
Thank you so much.
Noah, what are you smelling today? Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, I took the bottles out just in case. Okay. I love a deep cut. Today, I smell like Free Time by Filippo Sorcinelli.
Ooh.
It is an unreleased fragrance. He did a Labor Day deal this year where if you bought any bottle of perfume, he was giving away a free 50 mil of this.
Wow.
And it is amazing. It's also crazy classic.
Wow.
But it is.
That bottle is insane.
That is crazy.
Is that like it looks nuts. Like an arcade video button.
It is. Oh. It's inspired by.
Oh, Free Time.
Like, yeah, Free
like
Time.
Pleasure. Like, that's so cool.
Youth and like your days at the arcades. And it's this really great. God. I mean, Filippo is a genius, but his use of herbs and spices is just something else. I really don't quite understand how he knows how to blend them so well. But that in combination with this like really cool, like sticky, sweet vibe and this weird, ooh, like plasticky, mm-hmm, it's beautiful and super wearable, but also very much Filippo.
I gotta get more familiar with that. That's so cool.
Yeah, same.
It is, so it's cool. Really cool. And I guess not that many people know about it because I waited until the day before the deal was ending. And I guess I got bottle number 148 out of 150.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Which is also, I love a little. I'm like, now that it's so crazy knowing behind the scenes things, I'm being like, I have this limited edition bottle. And I'm like, when I sit at home and make limited edition things, I'm going like, like silly with my cat on my lap. And it's so funny.
I love
you're that. Just like hee-ha-haing to yourself. Like, little do they know.
Truly. Or I'm like, they don't know that I don't love this, but they will. Like, I'm a chronic non-waster. If I have some amount of a scent, I will try to use it. Like, with ingredients, I'll try to make something out of them.
Right.
And so I did a wedding scent for my brother, and I had a ton left over, like way more than I expected. So I just was like, well, I guess I'll just do a giveaway with it.
Yeah.
Which fully, I was like, I guess I made the bottles already, so might as well.
Yeah.
Which,
why
like,
not?
The fact that genuinely is just how it happened. People will like make a bunch of extra thing and be like, I think people might like this.
Wait, is that your forthcoming scent, or is that just something you did inside?
That was just something I did inside. It is actually something that I'm going to be working on. I don't even know when. It's so funny to have plans.
We wouldn't know.
Oh my God. I'm like, I don't think any of these are actually going to happen the way that I think they're going to happen.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping to, at some point next year, rework the formula back to what it was when I originally made it. because it's one of my mom's favorites things.
Oh.
One of my mom's favorite things that I've made in the original formulation, which is really, it's actually really weird because it's entirely not what I would have expected her taste to be, which makes me be like, maybe means something. Perhaps there's an audience there that is looking for something that I just found that I wasn't quite aware of.
It's a good pulse check.
There always is, I feel.
I love
moms
it.
Always know.
Also, giving, I have a like general rule with my perfume owning in that if you come to my apartment, you can use it. It is for everybody. I prefer for people to come over and play in my perfume cabinet and ask me questions and help pair people with things. And I love giving things to my family because if I have a bunch of extra stuff, I'm like, I'm not gonna.
Of course.
I can only smell my own things so many times until I'm like, all right, someone else needs to smell it. That I'm like,
totally,
it makes me happy when my family is just, just wear your stuff around just because
I'm
like.
That's amazing. Also, they're like walking billboards.
Oh my God, it's amazing. Having people, honestly, being from the acting world and having a lot of friends who are performers still is amazing. Being like, oh, I have a lot of billboards now.
Yeah.
Like these people post all the time.
These people can't stay off social media. Like, so
this is going to work for me, I think.
So you said enough to pique my interest right off rip. So not to be super obvious about it, but can you tell us about how M4A came to be? You were talking about how you didn't launch it, but then it was launched. And I mean, you certainly have a perfume brand because you're on the show. So do you want to tell us how you got here?
Like genuinely, I think I've said this in interviews before. I have no idea. I started taking classes at IAO because I love performing. And a lot of the performances that I did, a lot of the shows that I worked on were mostly like geared towards like social issues and did a lot of like community outreach and a lot of like audience participatory stuff, a lot of stuff for kids, a lot of stuff for differently abled audiences. And I had just come off doing a lot of that work on a pretty high level. And it was really amazing. And I got back to the city and it was just not quite the same. In order to make a living doing theater, you have to do a lot of things where you're fulfilling someone else's creative vision and you're not really asked for much creative input. And I feel like I have a lot. And
frustrating thing, especially if you studied theater. And then when you get to the real world, you're like, wait, none of that matters? Like what?
There's just so little opportunity outside of the opportunities that are granted to you. Unless you have the facilities to be able to make your own, which... Mm-hmm. I didn't have the capacity for that. Not that I couldn't write my own thing, but I've never felt that me as a person is important enough that the whole world needs to see it. But I've always had ideas that I've felt are important enough for people to see.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was trying to think of something that would just let me execute more creative freedom. And my mom suggested taking a perfumery class, which now feels super obvious. But I think I like took the Perfume 101 from AO, which was like a great just, that's what perfume is. But the first real class I took was Saskia Wilson Brown's Experimental Perfumery, which is, I think it's a collaboration with Atlas Obscura and the Institute for Art and Olfaction. And
Arabelle was talking about that.
You're going to probably hear that name a lot. It's especially that class. A lot of people that are in my cohort group are graduates of that class.
Wow.
It is a really, and it was like one of their first classes because it focuses really heavily on getting to know ingredients and building off, learning how ingredients really build off of each other. So actually the way that my first two cents came about was because I smelled an ingredient and was like, I didn't know perfume could smell like that. This is an ingredient that exists, but I've never smelled this. How is that possible?
Right.
I need to make something so that other people can also smell this.
Yeah.
The ingredient was manzanate for sublimate, which is use a ton of it in the formula. And it is like a super tart, like Jolly Rancher green apple. And the first time I smelled it, I was like, this ingredient on its own, I would wear. And I've never smelled a perfume that smells like it. So why not make something that I would want to wear? And that was just how the formula started to get built.
Green apple Jolly Rancher is, I feel like, the core of it. And then there's all the other complexities around it. But yeah, you have nailed it.
Thank you. It just was such an immediate response for me. And I had the same reaction to labdanum when we smelled it, that it expecting a flower and smelling something that is like so deep and woody. And one of the first ingredients I was introduced to that has a like top, middle, and base in and of itself, that it develops on its own. And the second that I was introduced to that concept, I was like, oh, what would it be like if I made a scent where I just took labdanum and stretched it out as far as I possibly could? And that's what Primalio wound up being.
So wild. They're both, I've said it before, I think Sublimate is front runner. Not that this means shit, but front runner for my favorite scent of the year. Truly. We were at Stell, another goddamn name drop for them. And our friend Jared was like, this smells like gummy candy. And I was like, that can't possibly be true. And then I smelled it and I was like, wait a minute. And just like gummy candy in the best, most, not even wearable, but just exciting ways for someone like me who has a gigantic sweet tooth for gummy candy. I'm obsessed
me too.
With it. It's so good. I can't stop smelling Marissa.
I have this funny thing. I'm a very, part of the wanting to execute my own creative direction on something was that I have a lot of ideas, and in theater, there's just not that much space to share those as much as you want to. Yeah. It's a lot more fitting into other people's things and getting to express things that way, which is just not something that I completely connect with. And so I just had all of these feelings and I needed, but like truly, I just had all of these thoughts and feelings that I was like, these are things that I never get to even discuss with people because they have nothing to do with theater and nobody cares.
Yeah.
Right.
Let me just write them down and see what happens. And the scents just created themselves. The scents that I've developed since are definitely much more, there's much more of a process that I like go through to figure out how to get there. But with these, it really was the collection is actually called Debut in quotes, which artist, like big eye roll, but it's my debut collection, but also it was really about just being loud and punchy and like messy and new.
Yeah, they are. It's funny that you're telling me, like, you're like, oh, this is the scent of a green Jolly Rancher apple. And then I'm like reading the description for Sublimate and I'm like, how did they get from what happened?
It's I have a really personal relationship to memories that my scents hold.
Yeah.
And then I have a kind of separate relationship to the story that scents tell. That I'm trying to think of a great example. Oh, like Rabbit from Parfait. Yeah. Which I talk about that scent constantly because it's just beautiful. For me, it really reminds me of home. It's very cozy. It's not necessarily a scent that smells like home for me, but it really is like a comforting feeling scent to me. And that's the memory that it brings up for me. But the story of it is like, it's Rabbit. It is what it is. And it makes so much sense. And it brings me that joy when I see it and when I put it on, because I know that's what the intention was. So I get the double, I have my own personal relationship to it. And I also have a completely separate relationship that is just from an artistic standpoint. That is completely how I approach my work.
Should I know what Rabbit is?
You say it on the first day of the month.
Oh.
It was her limited edition spring Easter scent this year. It was like, I describe it as having a distinctive lush note. She has somehow found the perfect encapsulation of walking into a lush store and being,
oh, you mean
smell exactly.
That's so funny.
Like walking in and being hit with just like that sort of like puff of, I'm like, I'm in a space that's just immediately wrapping me in this cozy scent.
Yeah.
It's really exceptional.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
But that, it's the concept of it that she wrote, it is beautiful and it makes so much sense. And my own personal memories that are associated with it are totally unrelated.
Yeah.
And with my initial collection sort of starting from the feeling standpoint, it wound up being a lot more about trying to match the scent to the feeling than it was about matching the feeling to the scent, which is what I do now. That I had the idea of Sublimate is about that sort of that last moment saying goodbye, where you, the moment of saying goodbye to someone where you don't actually know that it's the last time you're saying goodbye. it's not bittersweet. It's really beautiful. It's, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not, because you're not approaching it with the knowledge that it's a goodbye. You're approaching
yeah.
it.
Yeah. It's like it, you like, might never see this person again, but you're not going to make a big deal out of it.
Exactly. And it's that sort of like warm, comforting. Yeah. It's a little like, it's fresh and it's something that lights you up when you think about it, but it also has this sort of warm, enrapturing sense about it. And the scent profile itself was inspired by middle school girls.
My like, gosh, I could see that. It, like in my brain, I see the DKNYB juicy bottle.
Yeah, like fully it is inspired by all of the hot popular middle school and high school girls that I could not be friends with because I wasn't cool enough. Like it's
right, but always wanted like, to be.
That is what the sense, that's where the sense came from. Mm-hmm. And so the things that I've been working on recently have been much more geared towards like thinking about the scent first and then working backwards from there, especially now that I have a better sense of ingredients that I tend to, when I work from Accords, I tend to pick a hero ingredient and then work from there. Mm-hmm. That I, and 99% of the time I wind up sticking with it. There was a strawberry Accord that I'm building for my next launch with Virginal and Baby Boy. The collection will be called Innocence.
Love.
But I love, cute. It's much, this one is much more, everything is all very tied together. The scents are actually associated with the memories that I have of them. And it's much more personal. I figured that this is going to be my actual launch.
Yeah.
So I would make something that felt a little bit more like, this is me. And also, here are two examples of the crazy things that come up in my brain when I just need to get my energy out. But building that strawberry Accord, I think I spent like a month and a half on it and it sucked. It was awful. I could not get it right. And I finally just bought two new ingredients to try in with it. And then it was totally fixed. But I didn't wind up scrapping any of the ingredients that I used previously. I knew what I wanted in there, but sometimes there are just little teeny tiny nuances that just can be found using slightly other ingredients.
Wow.
It's insane.
Did you have any kind of unexpected, spontaneous eureka moments like throughout the formulation process?
Oh, I am constantly surprised by like how little you need to use. Mm-hmm. And I think I started to fall into a bit of a trap after making my first two cents because I felt like I had something to prove. Like the my next two cents are like, they're developed. They're done. They're ready. I've ordered the materials and we're getting on to blending. So I'm not really thinking about them quite so much as in process anymore. I'm more now I'm more so thinking about doing photo shoots for them and making sure that the branding makes sense.
The fun stuff.
Yeah. But I'm always surprised by how few ingredients you actually need. I definitely started to get wrapped up in the, I have this huge library now because I've taken all these classes and I'm so familiar with all these ingredients that I just want to use all of them. And I just started creating messes of hundreds of ingredients that were like, yeah, they smelled nice, but they didn't mean anything. They were just clumps of ingredients that I thought were creative for the sake of being creative, not really for any particular reason.
But you're building your library. This is all going into like your archives.
It's funny because the very first scent that I ever made pre-knowing that I was even going to have a brand and kind of the reason that I started a brand was a scent that I, at some point, I'm going to bring it back. I'm convinced that I called Fridge Butter because... my friend Evie Schuckman, who did the digital designs for my launch, which are, I'll get into those later, but they're digitized versions of art from my grandma's senior thesis and the author of Stregonona. They were friends when they were artists, so they did an art swap at some point. The
Amphora
was a piece that he had drawn for her. So that's where my logo came from.
Whoa.
And then all of the lettering is... Gay Hearted Fragrance is just, I stole it from her. It was some phrase that she wrote in a calligraphy class that she had saved in an archive that we were going through it after she died. And I was like, it was one of those things where everyone was like, I want the jewelry. I want these things. I was like, does she have any artwork lying around? And everyone was like, you're dumb. And then I framed it all and everyone was like, we want it now. Yeah, duh. But I have this like entire frame display of this, a bunch of calligraphy that she did. And Gay Hearted Fragrance was one of them. And the second I saw, I mean, it just was an immediate like, oh, that's it.
It just fits perfectly.
Yeah. It's, what does it mean?
Yeah.
I,
It means what you want.
It means
what
it says.
Yeah.
Like it's like gay-hearted fragrance. It, however you interpret that, it's which like I know is like such a cop out to be like, it's however you interpret it. But for me, it has an unbelievably like deep, like it pulls at my heart. It is like such an important thing for me.
Yeah.
And I prefer to be able to give people the permission to interpret it their own way, because my version of it is so loaded. It's like from my grandmother.
Yeah.
It's all like, I am a queer person who was like born and raised in the suburbs of Boston. Like, it means a lot to me that it doesn't need to mean for other people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And but I would, it's yours.
Exactly. It's mine. And I like
it's your inheritance.
It's my thing. I like that. I like that it's become a catchphrase. It's a great catchphrase.
Oh, yeah. It is perfect.
Do you find, how am I going to even fucking ask this question? How does your love of perfume and your queer identity inform the other? Because that's something that I think about quite a bit. And I think the way that you just, I don't know, tiptoed into that brought me to that question, if you don't mind.
Oh, are you kidding? I love this question. It's my, less like my queer journey. I've always been, my family has always been extremely accepting and has been encouraging of your own personal identity is who you are, that nobody should affect that in any way, shape, or form. That's that's your thing. Tossing everything else aside about anything else, that was always important to my parents. Mm-hmm. And so I never really felt, there was never really a time where I was like, I don't know what I am. I always was pretty sure about what I was, but I always faced a lot of difficulty being able to express it in the way that I wanted. I used to paint my nails when I was in elementary school, and I started getting made fun of for it a lot. And then I stopped. And that was the beginning of chipping away at a lot of the way that I express myself in a really authentic way. And it really wasn't until after I did my senior showcase in college, which for everyone who's listening, who hopefully no one is familiar with this experience, a senior showcase for a musical theater school is basically, it's an agency showcase. It's where you put it's where you put on your best show for all the most important people in New York.
Oh God. And
it, yeah. It's
wait, where did you go to school?
I went to Pace downtown.
Okay.
Which honestly,
City.
I had a great experience. I can't really say anything about the objective reality of going to theater school because I knew what I was going in for. I knew that I wanted all three kinds of training, singing, acting, dance. I didn't go into theater school for any other reason.
Yeah.
It was like, I want to be trained
intense.
In all three of these.
Yeah. Like it's a full-time work schedule, but you're just learning that and doing that.
It's crazy. And then showcase is this really intense, you're putting on your best minute and a half and hoping that makes the rest of your career. Mm-hmm. I was really lucky. I got a great agent. I love them to death. They're still my agents. Hi, MSA. Hi, Greg. Hi, Bree. Hi, everyone else. And they're amazing. And they're so encouraging of like me doing this and taking up all my time and being like, I actually don't want to do that little commercial gig because I'm making enough being home and I am not really interested. And it was a pretty rough transition out of school for me because I, in the vein of, I just want to go and get your training, I also was like, just tell me what to do. I don't care. Like, I just let me know what to do. I will do it. If it's going to help me, I trust you. I don't know anything about theater. You do. Let's go. And getting out of school, I was really ready to do a lot, but I didn't really have a particularly keen sense of what I wanted to do. I have been a working actor since I was 16. Mm-hmm. It's hysterical now to be so new to perfumery and to be so generously welcomed and to be like, I spent over a decade in theater working professionally and people could have given less of a shit. In the year before I started doing perfumery, I had just finished doing a gig at the Kennedy Center and at Lincoln Center.
Whoa.
Wow.
I got five of my friends to come.
They are very different industries, but it is funny when you're just like, really? I work my ass off for this and nothing.
Damn, okay. I wasn't Broadway. Wasn't Broadway. Lincoln Center, not Broadway. And it was an incredible experience that I basically got to share with nobody. And that was not why I went into theater. I went into theater because I love sharing things with people. And it felt like I had just done this big successful thing. And I didn't really get anything out of it besides a performing credit. And I had to like really take a hard look at what is it that I actually want out of this. And that's why I transitioned into perfumery. But
yeah.
In terms of the queer identity happening, mm-hmm. I had always been booking those jobs. And so my experience with working in theater had always been really supportive. And so I was welcoming of being corrected and guided. Mm-hmm. I had been doing it since I was really young. So it was just something that felt really natural to me to let people dictate the way that I should be progressing, because that just made sense.
Right.
It worked for me for over a decade. And I had finally hit the point where people were asking me what I wanted, and mm-hmm. I just couldn't figure it out. And then the pandemic hit, shocker, the thing that happened to everyone, which is I sat at home for a bunch of time and just spending so much time looking in the mirror and being like, who am I? Like, what is going on here? And I wound up taking a slightly different approach to it, which is that I had always wanted to do makeup. And I never did.
Yeah, you have so many artistic makeup looks on your Instagram.
I started in 2021, I think, was the first time that I posted something publicly. And I think it was the first time that I had like really done my makeup. I'd always had like a huge passion for everything beauty related, which is why I wanted to start a perfume brand. It was like, this makes sense.
Right.
I love being involved in beauty spaces, especially beyond just perfume. I find it really compelling. And spending so much time looking in the mirror, I was like, I bet I can figure out a way to look in the mirror and be excited about it and make myself feel more like myself.
Sure.
Like, I am sitting inside. I can't cut my hair. I'm growing out a really long beard that I've never had before. I've always had facial hair, but I was like just letting everything go. And I was like, dressing up had really become a part of my personality at that point. And I've since like really pared back in a bizarre way, but I just really needed to figure out what I wanted to look like.
Sure.
And I just needed to try fucking up my face, for lack of a better term.
I love that.
Like real bad. And doing really crazy things to my face. And like, I have no eyebrows right now. They're completely bleached.
Love.
Because I got back from Fire Island and was like, too many hot people. Oh, oh my God, I need to see something spooky when I look in the mirror again. Jesus.
That's so like, interesting. That was your response to seeing too many hot people. I love it.
That was the thing that generated from being in the pandemic and being friends and being colleagues with so many actors, where social media advertising has always been a thing. And all you can do in the pandemic is take pictures of yourself and videos. And so everyone was just posting like self tapes and shirtless pictures.
Yep.
And I was like, I'm going insane. I was like,
the self tapes.
Listen, have I posted mine? Absolutely. Were they awful? I am sure they were. But it was one of those things that you needed to do if you wanted to advertise yourself as an actor.
Yeah.
And frankly, most of my friends that did a lot of that, it worked.
They booked it.
But it just is something that I connect with in any
meaningful
way. Which it is no read on them whatsoever. I think that people that are good at it have a magic skill that I wish I had. That is being able to separate yourself from it in that way is both separate yourself and also find value in it is so I struggle to find value in things. So I think that people finding value in small things is great. I think that's lovely.
Before we started recording, you were talking about taking 5 hours to film a TikTok. And I feel similarly. When I was doing a book promo, I was like, I guess I have to do a TikTok. And it took me 3 hours to film a 27-second video that got 3 views. And I was like, what is this for? For what? To what end?
Why did I do this?
The first thing that I posted was a perfume tray thing.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what can I do that is going to be like even somewhat natural for me?
Yeah.
I'm like, I babble. I love to yap. Let's go. I can talk about the things that I wore this week. It took so long to figure out how to not say that much. It is an art. Like, they're catching people and getting people's interest and getting your point across in a very small amount of time and in very few words is hard to do.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm honestly trying to force myself to practice it. It's something that you actually have to practice if you want to get good at it.
I feel like you really do need to write yourself a script and have it in front of you, like a prompter.
Yeah. And if you don't, you have to I'm lucky that I come from an acting background where I'm like used to putting things on tape.
Yeah.
And so at the very least, like getting that done is like, that's the easy part.
Yeah.
Like cutting together a tape, setting up the lighting, all of that is like something that is totally second nature. So it's great for me to spiral about the content that I'm actually creating.
Because... I know. I was like, maybe I should start to do like fragrance stuff on TikTok. And then I did like maybe 2 or 3 videos over the course of like 8 months. And then I was like, no one is watching these. I feel so like I got.
Right.
It's every community is so insular.
Yes.
But it's coming from one insular community to going to another.
Yeah.
Where perfume is definitely one of those industries very similar to acting, where when you're in it, you know everything, but anyone outside of it is literally, what are you talking about?
Right.
Yeah.
I have never heard of that person in my life.
Very true.
Go off. So it can feel like you're just shouting into a void until all of a sudden the entire community finds you. And then it's, now all of a sudden I'm ingratiated into the community.
Yeah. You're on Fragrantica now.
Really lucky. I was really lucky, and I also it just happened to reach out to the right people. I love this story because it's like the kind of the brand origin story that I had gone through a pretty rough relationship during the pandemic.
Didn't we all?
Yeah, bad. real bad. Had pretty much stopped any sort of self-expression, anything. It was like, it was a dark time. And
yikes.
I'm someone who I still do, have worn perfume every day. My entire life. I love scent. It's something that means a lot to me. And I had just recently started doing makeup. So I was getting used to scrolling around on Depop for some unused and or unwanted items. And I was scrolling around one day and ran into a bottle of Cupid Doll from Parafat. And it was like super heavily discounted. I was like, fine, but I haven't tried a new perfume in a really long time. This sounds neat. Why not? Mm-hmm. And I smelled it for the first time and immediately started crying. Oh. Like, it was one of those things where I was like, didn't realize that this art form that I loved so much could mean even more than I thought it meant. I had never smelled a perfume like that. And it had been so long since I had found joy in perfume that it just opened my brain back up to being like, oh, not only do I remember why I love this so much, there's also an entire world of fragrance that I apparently don't know anything about, because I've never smelled a scent that smells like tomato vines and an Italian garden and plastic. It's really weird, but it's also a scent that every time I show it to someone, they're like, this is beautiful. It hits the imagery exactly right. And it just, that experience it immediately reopened my brain. And I started recollecting perfume after that. And now my collection is ridiculous and just weird. I love getting my hands on anything as weird as possible.
Yeah, it's the best part, right?
Yeah.
I have sitting next to my thing, because I have been testing a few things today. But this Angel, Pivoine Angel, it's Angel Peony. It was a limited release in the early 2000s when I guess Mugler did a sort of not soliflor, but like specific flower designated angel launches.
And one of the flankers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there were like 3 maybe. And I found this is like a refill bottle of it. This isn't even a standard bottle. This is a refill bottle. And this is like,
it's so gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
I love hunting for Mugler fragrances on eBay.
You do.
All of. If I can find a Mugler flanker, I will buy it.
I've found so many.
There's just something about the scents that are...
Just the bottles, too.
They're amazing to look at. And they're so, like, we exist in the context, but so special. They really are like a marker of a specific time. Mm-hmm. Especially Vintage Angel is like, that was made for a really specific market. And like, I have the vintage and the original, and they are definitely made for the same person still. But you can just tell how tastes have changed.
Yeah.
And so I like that you can get these like little snapshots of a really specific moment in time, where I think this was like a 2005 launch that I think it was like Olivier Cresp maybe. And early 2000s, the light pink florals, Peony, Sweet Pea was such a big thing, and this has those elements, but still has that Vintage Angel vibe. And it is such a, if I want to smell 2005, I have a bottle of it.
I love that. perfume, like you said, is like a time capsule of the time that it was made and created. And it can tell you a lot about where we were culturally and how we wanted to smell versus 10 years prior or post that. That's so fun.
I love reformulation.
Uh-huh. One of my favorite Mugler flankers, it was a flanker of Alien Mirage, and it was only available in Canada, but not America, which is weird. And then
I certainly have a bottle of it.
Yeah, I found it from a Canadian eBay seller, but I was like, why wasn't this available in America? This is amazing. Yeah.
There are so many, like, I'm pretty sure this bottle of Angel Peony, I'm pretty sure Angel Peony was like, I don't even know if it like formally got released in the US, because this is Pivoine Angel. This was like, this was not last year.
Okay.
And which also was like doing Googling for it, being like, I can't find it. And then being like, oh, Peony Angel? Oh, of course. It just didn't occur to me that they would have launched it under separate names in separate locations, but it must have been such a small launch that they could get away with it. And I find reformulations so fascinating. Flankers, I will collect to death, but reformulations, I just love the concept of.
People get so passionate about them too. The Lolita Lempicka formulations, people throw hands on that shit.
They're like, I have the original Alien and I have the original Angel, and they're definitely different. It's great. The reason I love reformulations is because they're never marketed as improvements. And that's never the intention. Mm-hmm. It's never the intention to re-release and improve a fragrance. If anyone were to say that's what they were doing, I would be a little suspicious, because
people will get mad, because if they fall in love with one thing, they're like, don't change it, I love it.
Also, I'd be like, why did you release that in the first place if you didn't know what you were doing? Okay, interesting. But it's great to have reformulations because they're snapshots of the ingredients that were available at the time based off of the perfumers and their taste and what they had access to. Like, there are reformulations. I just heard about this program, and it's not even a thing anymore, that apparently Givaudan used to have a program where they worked with a handful of perfumers and supplied them with ingredients. Hmm. And there are a handful of, I think, either people who went to school or did like their internship program, but there's a whole cohort of those people like cohorts of Marissa Zappas and that sort of echelon of people. But there are a bunch of reformulations that recently happened because Givaudan discontinued the program. And so they were like,
oh no.
Okay, so we just don't have access.
Yeah.
I think it was both a combination of not getting the exclusive pricing, which makes a huge difference, and not having access to proprietary ingredients.
Yeah, the captured ingredients.
Right. It's like data. and it doesn't wind up, perfumers typically know enough to reformulate and have it not smell super different. And there usually are like two or three ingredients that you can like swap between, and most people won't notice the difference. Perfumers will, but like most people, if you were to give a normal person an old a bottle of Angel and say, did I buy this yesterday? They would go, yeah, duh.
Right. Yeah.
Most people wouldn't know the difference. With reformulations, it's these specific, it's not a difference in quality. It's just a difference in a very slight hint of a note. It just says something about when it was made, which is it adds to the story, which I think is so much more fun. I got this from the point when so-and-so was working for so, and they were able to get such. Mm. And now they don't have access to that anymore. So it's not that it's rare.
That's like the insider shit that like most consumers don't know about, but they like get very upset when you reformulate stuff and you're like, it wasn't my choice.
And it's not like, it's not rare and expensive. It's just things change. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't necessarily even change the value of things, because there are vintage scents that are dirt cheap.
Right.
Because if things were produced a lot, there's going to be a backstock. Yeah. And you can find a cheap bottle of vintage Angel. It's starting to get more expensive now that we're getting further away from lunch. And people are rediscovering it and being like, the vintage Angel smells really good. She's really good. Mm-hmm. It's just a great option to have as a consumer. And a really great way to also not getting reduce, reuse, recycle, but it is a great way to prevent those things from just getting thrown out.
There's so much more I want to know about Amphora, but I would love for you to tell us about each of the scents and how they live together and both in opposition to each other. I think that you described the scents really beautifully early up in the show, but I would love to know how you got here, but can you just talk about the debut collection sort of as its own sort of dichotomy, because I think these are two exquisite but very different scents. And I would love to hear from your perspective how we got here and how they live together.
For some reason, my brain very much exists in pairs.
Yeah.
I honestly, I'm not entirely sure what it is. I think about the way that I structure my perfumes in the same way that I think about contrast a lot. I'm a photographer as well. I do most of my own product photography. Anything that's on my page right now is mine, except unless I'm prepping someone else. Contrast was always a really big thing for me as someone who went from doing digital to film. Mm-hmm. And so this idea of like finding a balance between the two, finding two things that combine to be a neutral, whether or not that means like going to really far extremes or having things be a little bit closer together. Mm-hmm. And for my first collection, it was very much, here are two things that are like just opposite ends of my brain. These are like completely different feelings for me. Mm-hmm. One of them is about wanting to hold everything in and keep things with me. The other is about just wanting to let everything out and scream. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully these will find an opposite audience that has a neutral. And so there are people like me that are a neutral, and I like things that are like both of that. I like things like both of the scents that I made.
Sure.
But there are definitely people who are like, oh, by the way, hate Primal Yell. And I'm like, awesome. Good. Because when I made them, I did not think about making them as things that people would buy together. Mm-hmm. I thought about them as things that made sense together. Mm-hmm. And as things that if you were to smell them together, you would go, that makes sense as a collection. But not necessarily things where you go, oh, I have to have both of these. That's also an issue that I have with marketing anything towards like encouraging people to buy things is not really my speed. I try to make everything as different as possible so that people that like collecting and that's like a hobby for them can experience the joy of collecting a bunch of things that are completely different.
Yeah.
And then people that are really hyper-specific have something specific that they can choose.
Is that, now that you've locked your second collection, do you find the same sort of polarity in between the new two upcoming fragrances?
I think I've found the same neutral. That being said, these two are, at least for me, much closer to center. I really wanted to make a huge swing with my first scents. I was like, I just want to make things that I think smell good and be done with it. And that is it. And there was just a lot more consideration about development and nuance in this. There was an intentional lack of nuance in the first two. It was supposed to be really just like punchy, high contrast. It's the reason that I took these really grainy flash photos. The photos on the scent cards were taken in my parents' backyard in Lexington, where I was just like, hey, do you have an almost rotten apple and a newspaper? And they were like, sure. And I just took a bunch of flash photos and freaked the neighbors out. And was like, that's what it is. Because that's what I wanted it to feel like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this, I wanted this next collection to feel much more, feel like it was for the same audience, but feel a lot just closer to center, both emotionally and also in scent. They're much more, I don't want to say neutral, but if the last two scents were like definitely fruity scents, I would say that people might have a slightly different opinion on these two. They have a little bit more, a little bit less fruit, a little bit more, honestly, expensive ingredients. Sorry. Okay. But I found the things that I loved, and spending all that time making all those formulas with a million ingredients where they smelled like nothing, I learned which things smell like almost nothing. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to try to execute that this time around instead of basing it around, I love this smell. How can I adjust it? I know that this is the starting point for this thing. How do I manipulate this into being what I want it to be? Mm-hmm. Not necessarily keeping so much of the integrity of the original ingredients, but really focusing more on the accords this time, really.
Ooh. And when can we expect the second collection, if we can ask?
Assuming that all of my ingredients arrive in time, which they should, I'm hoping to be doing a launch in November.
All right.
Oh my gosh,
it would be really nice. It is definitely happening before next year.
Right.
Once I've developed more sense and I like do more limited launches, I'll feel better about people blind buying things. I really do like to encourage people to try the scents out for a while before they decide which ones they want, because it's such a personal experience and it's, I want it to be about how you feel about it. But it makes me it makes me happy, especially being at a place like Stell, where Stell has done an incredible job at finding scents and brands where you see the bottle, you hear the name, and if you're attracted to it, there is a 99% chance you're going to like the scent.
Totally. Yeah.
They have managed to find brands where the vibe is the vibe. They're not trying to sell you on anything that isn't there. They're trying to sell you on what is there.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Is really, that's new, sort of a new wave approach with a lot of perfumers too.
Sort of.
Like really selling this is what's in it. And that's it.
But like, people have such a hunger now, such a want and desire for like all parts of the fragrance. Before, people would just buy into what was considered popular or sexy. And now it's, no, I want to know what's in it. I want to know who made it. I want to know what the scent profile is.
The notes are so important.
Yeah.
I like, and I love that Stella's, we don't really go by notes.
Yeah. Just smell the smell. Do you like it? There you go.
And it's funny because every person that I've seen hear that sentence and go, oh, but I really want a rose, has eaten their words. Like, they've been like, oh, because I thought that this is what I was looking for, but what I was describing was actually a more of a general profile than a like, I want a rose scent. And really what you're describing is, oh, you might actually like something a little bit more like green and fresh is what you're saying. And then they wind up falling in love with something. The first time I did a restock, I saw a man come in asking to smell Baccarat Rouge and left with a bottle of Azalei by Storrs Skogen.
Oh, interesting.
It was amazing. It was like...
Is that fragrance anything like Baccarat Rouge?
Not in the slightest.
Yeah.
Could not be more different. Couldn't be more different in vibe. Couldn't be more different in maker or set. There's Baccarat Rouge, which is like Maison French's Storrs Skogen.
Yeah.
Could not be more different. And he left with Azalei. Left buying the bottle of Azalei, which is
that
like...
That man wanted a perfume. He said, I'm not living here without a perfume.
They just do a really great job of helping people understand that what you want isn't necessarily what you're going to get.
Yeah.
But sometimes what you're looking for isn't actually what you think you're looking for. It's
true. Very true.
The same ingredients overlap in a lot of accords.
It is true. Yeah. They were like Jake had showed me two other scents that he's like, this shares a note with your scent, I Have With a Vengeance. Then this shares like the base of this. And I was like, wow. It's like its own little, if I think in magazine brain, like the high-low matrix.
Very that.
Yeah.
It's very much individual accords labeled across different brands can smell different because they'll include different ingredients. Mm-hmm. And also, accords with completely different names across brands can incorporate almost all of the exact same ingredients.
I know.
And be labeled completely different things because maybe these slight amounts are adjusted a bit. But on everyone's skin, you're going to absorb ingredients at different rates. So...
Also that, things pull very differently on Tynan and me.
So with perfume ingredients, you can have brands that, you can even have brands that have different accords labeled across different scents that literally are the exact same accord.
Yeah. And the marketing language, like skews perceptions of things. It 100%. Really is the way things are described and written about.
It like, which I think is why it's probably smart to... Mm-hmm. Have a place where there's a no notes zone.
Yeah.
Like your nose will tell you which scent you like the most because it's so subjective. And so many of the scents there are so like conceptual that it's a lot of the times it's more interesting to smell them first before getting to know what's in them because it could sway you from wanting to smell something.
Yeah. I always think that's a good method to smell first. And then you can, if it interests you, you can be like, what is that? What's in there? And then maybe then you can find the things that you think you like.
There are so many celebrity perfumes that are like amazing.
Yeah.
You came to the right place.
People would discount them to death because they're inexpensive. But my mom was gooped and gagged over this, that I am obsessed with the Fantasy line. It is the encapsulation of my middle and high school experience. It is like... The precious orb.
Yes.
I see that and I'm like,
precious orb.
I saw that in a girl's locker and I would go, you're literally the most powerful woman on the planet. This is crazy. And so I just have an obsession with it. And I'd never actually smelled it.
Yeah.
And so I
That's
just
the name of the episode, The Powerful Orb. With
yes, it is.
The Powerful Orb, Feeling the Fantasy.
Right.
Which, I mean, I do fully, I won't share too much, but I fully, a dream of mine is to do an installation with the entire fantasy line called Feeling the Fantasy.
I would love that. I would, listen, with, yeah. Between Britney Spears and orbs, you came to the right show.
Yes, you did. Yes. Love, oh my God.
The way that it's marketed is so, it's camp. It like, it's of a course. Little ridiculous, and it's like not entirely accurate to what the scent is. The Cupcake Accord is not really super gourmandy, like sugary. It's this really like sweet, playful, like lovely scent. And yep. I blind bought a bottle because I was like, I just need to have it. And I tested it for the first time, and that was my impression. And I was like, I bet my mom would actually like this if I sprayed it and had her smell it out of context.
Yeah. Yep. Don't tell her what it is. Do a blind smell.
Had her smell it, and she was like,
yeah,
really nice. It's not something I would wear, but that's really lovely. I was like,
yeah,
Britney Spears is fantasy.
Yeah. Like,
there perception in... just colors are the things we think we smell are so colored by what we think our perception is.
Absolutely.
It's so funny. Yeah. We've had so many perfumers tell us people, who is it? Person of interest has a pine scent. The name has the word pine in it, but is not a pine scent. And people smell it and they're like, yeah, I could really smell the pine. He's, there's no pine whatsoever. God,
there are. I wish I could remember the names. Oh, I think is Bianco Latte one of the ones that is, I for some reason, is it like a chocolate scent? I admittedly have never smelled it.
I haven't smelled it, but I've heard of it.
It was so popular on TikTok for such a long time.
Yeah.
It was one of the ones that I remembered seeing and being like, oh, the name is not the same as the notes.
Yeah.
The name means the notes, but it's if you were to see that, the meaning of the name translates. But if you were to see the name, you'd be like, oh, it smells like this.
Yeah.
I was like, Bianco Latte, like some sort of like creamy coffee sort of scent. Like,
right.
And it's very much not at all what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's certainly gourmand, but there's no coffee to be found, which disappoints me because I am a coffee fragrance lover.
Yeah.
That is something that I really, that is a goal of mine at some point in some year down the line. I would love to do a like real coffee scent.
We're going to hold you to that.
We're
going to
hold
you
to that. Yeah.
They're really like, they're
you heard
so
it here first
neat.
On Smiley Later.
If they don't do a coffee scent after all that.
Oh my God. No,
listen,
I think they will. They will. I think
I'm not
will.
Playing around.
We're going to hear from
them. Can you imagine an Amphora coffee? God.
I'm like imagining like the launch event, like in a coffee shop with a logo on the coffee cups.
Or like
me, an event planner. Just kidding.
Espresso martinis, girl. It's got to be after hours. People got to stop with these morning events. If I've said it once, I've said it a thousand times. We have jobs.
No, I don't. But I do not.
And I know that many of the attendees' job is to attend those events, so anything can be fair game. But I'm still mad. I'm starving. We have to wrap this up.
We have to go.
I'm sorry to be so transparent on this show. It is 8:41 on a Monday goddamn night. It's Tuesday. But thank you, Amphora, for joining us. I feel like we're just at the beginning of their story. And
I think so. And
we
I was really
so much
glad.
More to see.
Yeah, I was really glad that we could get in the beginning. And then it's so cool to meet someone when they've just broken out and launched. And now it's like, wow, I'm like really excited for what they're going to do next.
No, absolutely. Can't wait for this. I love that they already have another collection in the wings.
Hell yeah.
I didn't know what to expect, but not quite that. So I'm really excited to see that when it finally does
go. Check them out. They're stocked at Stell.
If Where the hell else would they be at this point?
Their website is amphoranyc.com. Our website is smellyoulater.live. Check that out if you want to find our merch and our hotline where you can ask us a question.
Oh, shit. We'll
play
that voice now.
That's
we'll
okay. We can do it next time. Yeah. You can follow us at smellyoulater.mb3 on Instagram. I'm at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will
smell you later.